Welcome to Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. I'm Christine Bruce, your grandmotherly accomplice for the next half hour. Tungsten broadcasts at the saddest hour on Wet'suwet'en territory through CICK 93.9 FM, stationed in a 100-year-old train car in Smithers, BC. Better with age? Well, I think so, but then I'm ancient myself. In this special edition episode for our annual CICK fundraiser, I have the best children's story for demonstrating the importance of collaboration in a small community. The story is called The Little Train by Graham Greene. Yeah, that Graham Greene. Today, I've pulled some big guns from the Smithers community to take on roles, turning our adaptation of The Little Train into a radio drama. You'll hear from voices of all ages, from a second grader all the way up to someone in the grandparent generation. You've heard the phrase, many hands make light work. Well, four voices will bring our story to life. And that's just what happens when a community comes together to support an exceptional cause, like our fundraising event here at CSCK. I've also invited our station manager, Glenn Ingram, to come and tell us the story of our train car and why we want to hear its horn. This year's theme is tooting our horn, with the goal of attracting enough to get our train car horn repaired. We've never heard our train's horn, and thought, what a great gift to our community to be able to toot our horn at special events. So, in this episode, we're going to try to raise a modest sum. Let's see if we together can raise $50 to repair our train's horn. All aboard! Let's go get into some fundraising mischief together. Anyone who's ever taken a high school English class in Canada is going to recognize the name Graham Greene. Greene lived from 1904 to 1991. He started out as a journalist, but Greene turned to a career as a novelist in 1929, with such powerhouses as Brighton Rock, The Heart of the Matter, The Power and the Glory, and The End of the Affair. Some of these he described as entertainments, and others as novels. Some were considered thrillers, often with notable philosophic edges. The Confidential Agent, The Quiet American, Our Man in Havana, The Human Factor, and his screenplay for The Third Man are reminders that Greene worked for MI6 for a while. He also wrote short stories and plays, including today's children's story, The Little Train. Graham Greene is regarded as a major 20th century novelist, praised in his time as the most accomplished living novelist in the English language. The Little Train has been adapted today for radio and is being read by dedicated CICK followers Ted Burgess as The Little Train, Leslie Jackson as the great Roberta Bruce, the Scottish Express, and Carly Quinn. Carly is what we call our extras voice, doing a passerby, a foal, a hedgehog, and the lovely Mrs. Trolley. Carly is very versatile, and I'll be playing the role of the narrator. As you listen to this story, consider that our little train is a mere 7 years old and has recently learned to read. Ted rarely stumbles on longer words, and you can hear his love of reading. He hasn't yet figured out how to perform a dramatic part, and a couple of times he's racing through the line, because at seven, quantity is the key, not quality. And you know, that's exactly what our little train car is doing in the story, racing ahead to find greener pastures. Ted is the perfect little train. All right, get comfortable because it's time for this week's book. For our CICK fundraising edition of Tungsten, I've chosen The Little Train by Graham Greene. This story is set in small-town England, an unremarkable place called Little Snoring. Early one morning, a little train wakes up and decides to go on an adventure. As you'll hear, the train chugs and puffs his way through villages, past castles, and over bridges. But soon he gets tired, and the big city is scary. There's only one thing for it. He'll have to head back. And you know what that means. Building community. I've chosen this little book because it mirrors nicely our little CICK train car and how dependent community radio stations are on their surroundings. CICK broadcasters like me are all volunteers who are passionate about bringing you excellent music and keeping you in touch with the latest cultural, political, and economic news. But to continue to do that, we need your support. While you're listening to The Little Train's adventures, you can call into the station and someone will be there to take your call. The number is 250-847-8769. You can also visit smithersradio.com to purchase or renew your membership, and that will keep CICK on track for its adventures. Now, on to The Little Train by Graham Greene, narrated by me, Christine Bruce, And in the first segment, you'll meet the little train itself, charmingly read by my crush, Ted Burgess. You'll also hear from Mrs. Trolley and a commentator, both enacted by the ever-reliable voice of Carly Quinn. All aboard! The little train had lived all his life at Little Snoring. From the day he was born in the engine shed behind the house of Mr. Joe Trolley, the porter, he had never traveled further than the sleepy old market town of Much Snoring, where the great main line crossed the little branch line. Up and down the branch line, day after day, went the little train, punctual to the minute. Every day, Mrs. Trolley would hear the train coming and comment,
"There's the train."
And sometimes would add,
"Oh dear, our clock's slow again,"
and make the necessary corrections. Visitors in the warm summer weather would often leave the Great Line and ride down the branch line to Little Snoring. How often the little train heard them say,
"What a beautiful, peaceful country, and what a lively, sleepy village."
"Sleepy,"
he thought.
"How little they know. Little Snoring is fast asleep."
And he would stand puffing at a level crossing, lost in a daydream.
"If only I could see the world outside where the Great Express go."
"Yeah."
One morning he had got up very early while his driver was still fast asleep. Suddenly he thought to himself,
"It's now or never. I've enough coal in my boiler to take me to the end of the world. Then too, that's what I was born for. I'm just as good as an express train."
Then he thought of his little warm engine shed and his driver, who was a kind man named Postlethwaite.
Shall I?
He puffed. The porter, who had got up early too, couldn't believe his own eyes and ears.
"Goodbye, Little Snoring,"
he heard the train engine say as it pulled out of the station. Fun, huh? My friend Ted has just this year learned to read. We've always enjoyed snuggling into each other over a good book, but I love it even more now that Ted reads to me. The Little Train was Graham Greene's first children's book, originally published in 1946. During that period, our own CICK train car was working out east along a CN line that included such big Canadian cities as Montreal. But it has since branched out on its own adventures and has retired in Little Smithers, full of kind people like Mr. Postlethwaite. And if he were here now, he'd encourage you to purchase or renew your membership with CICK. Community radio stations like ours rely on people like kind Mr. Postlethwaite, people like you, to keep running. By purchasing a membership to CICK, you are actively supporting local, diverse voices of volunteers who want to keep Smithers that interesting and friendly place that it is. This year's theme is Tooting Our Horn, and the plan is to attract enough donations that we can afford to get our train car's horn repaired. Do you want to hear the train's horn? Because we sure do. You can get an individual membership at $25, a family membership at $60, or a lifetime membership at $400. Call in now at 250-847-8769 or visit smithersradio.com. Now, back to The Little Train by Graham Greene. In this quick segment, Carly Quinn plays a foal and a hedgehog. The Little Train is played by Ted Burgess, and I'm the narrator. The foal, who had been up since daybreak in the meadow, laughed over his shoulder.
"Poor little train, he's as slow as a tortoise."
The hedgehog, who had just got up himself, said,
"Good heavens, he's going as fast as a bird."
The tortoise was halfway through breakfast and had his mouth full. But with every pull, the little train cried,
"Freedom, freedom, freedom."
Meanwhile, the porter had told the ticket collector, who had told the driver, who had told the station master, who telegraphed to Much Snoring. stop the little train. He's running away. I hope you're enjoying our book today on tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. For this special fundraising edition, I've chosen Graham Greene's children's book, The Little Train. It's a classic story whose message continues to be relevant today. Most of us love the idea of a good adventure and just dropping everything for freedom. Who wouldn't want to leave a sleepy little town called Much Snoring? But pretty soon, the little train will realize that Much Snoring has its advantages. Just like Smithers, which is really lucky to have a community radio station like CICK. You can actively support our work, both as a radio station and as a train car. This year's theme is tooting our horn, and we want to get enough donations that we can afford to get our train car horn repaired. I said at the beginning of the show that my goal was to try to raise at least $50, a big amount to a little train. If you want to be part of that goal, you can purchase an individual membership for $25, a family membership for $60, or a lifetime membership for $400. Call in now at 250-847-8769 or visit smithersradio.com, because we'd love to hear from you. Okay, snuggle in, because we're going back to The Little Train by Graham Greene. In this segment, The Little Train, read beautifully by my friend Ted Burgess, begins his adventures. He only went at 25 miles an hour, which is very slow for a train. But by midday, he thought he had traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles. He was quite lost, and thought he might come to the end of England and see the sea. He had traveled through plains and hills and valleys and marshes and hills again. He thought,
"If only the folks at Little Snoring could see me now."
Once he saw an express train rushing past on the down line, and he called out to him,
"How are you, big fella?"
But the express train was going much too fast even to see the little train. The little train passed over a big bridge and saw far below the steamboats going toward the sea. He passed a castle where hundreds of years ago a king was put to death, but the little train had never learned any history. He thought it was a new kind of signal box and hurried on in case they tried to stop him. Uh-oh, we're heading into the crisis point of the story. Whatever will happen to the little train? These classics are pretty sweet, and I hope you're enjoying it as much as we enjoyed putting it together as a radio drama for this special fundraising edition of the 2024 CICK Membership Drive. By purchasing a membership to CICK, you're actively supporting local, diverse voices of volunteers who want to keep Smithers the interesting and friendly place that it is. Our theme, as I keep reminding you, is tooting our horn, because we want to get enough donations to get our train car horn repaired. Want to be part of that adventure? You can purchase an individual membership of $25, a family membership of $60, or a lifetime membership of $400 by calling in to 250-847-8769 or by going online at smithersradio.com. Now, back to the little train with Ted Burgess and me, Christine Bruce. Cuddle up, Buttercup!
Miles and miles,
thought the little train. He was beginning to feel very thirsty, and sometimes he couldn't help longing for his nice water tank and thinking of explorers who had died of thirst in the desert. As the sun began to go down, the little train found himself climbing and climbing into the dark, gloomy mountains. There was no one there to watch him except the eagle soaring among the peaks. In the desolation, the little train began to long for the friendly whistle of the guard, the tapping of the trackman, the hooting of the little foghorn. Here, the only whistles were those of the birds. The only hootings... What was that that made that wild noise behind his chimney? Oh, how glad he was when the railway track tilted downhill, and once again he could see the long, level plain. But little did he know what perils were yet in store. He had heard his driver sometimes talk of junctions, but the only junction he and Mr. Postlethwaite knew was the junction of much snoring. Happy at having left the grim, dark mountains behind, he puffed through the darkening evening to the great city of Smoke Overall. Poor little train. Have you ever watched someone become despondent when they're trying to do something solo and wish you could help out? Well, you can! Today, CICK is launching our annual membership drive, and this year's theme is tooting our horn. We hope to get enough donations to afford to get our train car horn repaired. I said at the beginning of the show that my goal was to try to raise at least $50, a big amount for a little train. If you want to be part of that goal, you can purchase an individual membership for $25, a family membership for $60, or a lifetime membership for $400. Call in now at 250-847-8769 or visit smithersradio.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Up next, our little train is getting tired, and he's about to enter the big city, which is pretty scary. Lots of noise and confusion. At first, it was just a smell on the evening breeze. The smell of soot and oil and glue. Then it was a din of hammers and grinding brakes and shouting. Last of all, it was a sight of blinding lights, huge metal shapes, and more people than the little train had ever seen in his life before. Pushing, yelling. The little train, in deadly fear, shut his eyes. He opened his eyes. Nobody had ever told the little train the world could be like this. He thought that he had found his way to a terrible cave of demons. At Little Snoring, there had never been more than a single platform. In the maze of rails and platforms and shouting men, the little train quite lost his head. With a squeal of fear from his chimney, The little train bolted backwards. Being on rails, you see, he couldn't turn around. I hope you've been enjoying our little radio drama as much as we are. The Little Train was first published in 1946, but the message remains relevant even today. I'm bringing you this presentation as part of CICK's annual membership drive, which launches a whole week of fundraising. By purchasing a membership to CICK, you are actively supporting local, diverse voices in Smithers and surrounding areas. In an age where fake news and extreme political positions are becoming the frightening norm, CICK remains committed to bringing you honest, intelligent coverage of local news to keep you informed. We're plugged into the local emergency systems, and that recent outage in town was an excellent test of our broadcasting capability, which didn't fail us. CICK is worth supporting. We'd love to hear from you right now. Call in to purchase or renew your 2024 CICK membership at 250-847-8769 or visit smithersradio.com. Now, back to The Little Train by Graham Greene. What do you think? Isn't Ted doing an admirable job of bringing the little train to life? Grab your blanket and snuggle in. The signals were all at stop, but the little train didn't even see them. The points switched him wildly from one set of rails to another until he was reeling and dizzy.
Oh, why did I ever leave Snoring? Kind Mr. Postlethwaite and a nice Joe Trolley,
the little train thought.
If only I could see them again, but I'm hundreds of miles away. I'm quite lost, and I'll never see little Snoring again.
The stars, which came out one by one, winked at the little train like guard's lanterns, then one by one went out. The train was quite exhausted. He had only a very little coal left in his boiler, and when that was gone, he would not be able to travel any further. He would just come to a stop until someone came and pushed him into a siding, where he would get older and older and rustier and rustier, and no one would remember him.
Oh, I wonder,
the little train thought sadly,
what new little train they will have on the little Snoring line. I wish I'd grown up to never run away like I have done.
And the little train's steam turned into tears on his windscreen. Pretty sad, eh? Well, not to give away the ending, but things do pick up, thanks to community-minded people. Today, CICK is launching our annual membership drive, and this year's theme is tooting our horn. We hope to get enough donations from our community to afford to get our train car horn repaired. I said at the beginning of the show that my goal was to try to raise at least $50, a big amount for this little train. If you want to be part of that goal, you can purchase an individual membership for $25. That's half of my goal. A family membership for $60, or a lifetime membership for $400. Call in now at 250-847-8769 or visit smithersradio.com. We'll be watching for you. And now, the conclusion of The Little Train by Graham Greene, enacted by the delightful Ted Burgess and the wonderful Leslie Jackson, my friend and my chicken farmer, to the rescue as Roberta Bruce, the famous Scottish Express train. We all need friends like Roberta Bruce. Rattle, 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 went the little train's couplings, wanly creaking. Puff, 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 went his little heart, beating more and more faintly. There was only a shovelful of coal left in his boiler.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
What was that roar and rush bearing down on the little train? Why, it was the great Roberta Bruce, the famous Scottish Express train. She drew up just in time, or else you would have heard no more of the little train.
"Hoots, wee man,"
she said crossly, because she was in a great hurry.
"What are you doing on my line?"
The little train wept and wept and told his whole story.
"Why, you poor wee train,"
said the great Roberta Bruce.
"Dinna fash yourself."
Which is Scottish for don't worry.
"But I'm lost and I'll never see little Snorri again."
"Dinna talk rubbish,"
said Roberta.
"You're only 10 miles away for a little Snorri."
"But I haven't any coal left."
"I'll push you home myself,"
said Roberta.
"We'll arrive there before breakfast time."
And sure enough, before the clocks had time to strike 7, there was the bridge outside little Snorri. The little train looked behind him and could hardly believe his eyes. 2 little figures were waving their hands. It was Mr. Postlethwaite and Joe Trolley.
"Goodbye, my brave wee man,"
said the great Roberta Bruce.
"Oh, I feel so ashamed,"
said the little train.
"Dinna fear. You're the bravest little train they've ever seen in little Snorri, and they'll be proud of you."
And they were. The mayor gave a reception, and the little train was asked to make a speech. But his heart was too full of joy for words, and all he could say was... Well, thanks for snuggling with me to read The Little Train by Graham Greene. Parts played by my BC Bats friend and colleague, Carly Quinn, my 7-year-old crush and constant snuggler, Ted Burgess, and my BV Farmers Market chicken and veggie farmer, Leslie Jackson. All smithereens that I know I can count on when my adventures get a little out of control. Thanks for sharing our story with us today. And did you hear that little train's horn? I do hope we can attract enough money to get our little train car horn repaired. Call in now, 250-847-8769, or visit smithersradio.com. Thank you so much. Up next, a conversation I recently recorded with our station manager, Glenn Ingram, on the history and the future of our own train car. Glenn, tell me the history of our beloved train car.
Oh, this old girl. So, built in 1929, it's a CN, they called it a CN lounge. We called it a CN lounge car. I think it was called an executive lounge car, executive car. And it was on the rails between Montreal and Toronto from 1929 up to 1974. And it's primarily used as a way to, an extra source of income for CN Rail. You could upgrade your ticket to to have access to this beautiful train. And in this train, you'd have food provided. You'd have somebody servicing. You'd press a button here to get service. It was very comfortable. I assume it was probably quiet. I have always imagined it, like the food being very nice. They actually had dining tables at one end of the train. And it was just a beautiful piece of history that when travel was actually still fun, I think.
That sounds pretty luxurious.
I think it might have been. We picked up as many books as we can on that have referenced this train car, but nothing says how much it cost. But I imagine it's probably for people who could afford it. So I guess, yeah, I don't know. Comfortable luxury, I guess.
And how did it get out here?
Well, that's a good question. I know that the Lions Club decided that they wanted to have this train car as a tourist piece. And they made arrangements to purchase it from CN when they deactivated it in 1974. So it's hard to know exactly why it came west. I'm pretty sure it never really ran on the rails in any kind of in its form as an executive lounge car. But maybe they planned to bring it out here to sell to the Lions Club, or maybe they brought it out here for to put it into a pasture, whatever a train car pasture might be. Anyway, I know there are some yards where CN keeps some of their older cars, and maybe that's where it was going to go. But all I know is that Lions Club came along and said, we would love that train car. And they, over a period of a couple weeks, over the weekend, they leapfrogged two pieces of the track and they brought it down Queen. And it eventually rested right where it is now, here in Central Park, and where it's been sitting here since 1974.
And how long have we had it?
We've been in it, I think we're going on 10 years. We should really make a note of that because it might be kind of fun to celebrate that. But we've been in it for about 10 years because we've been a radio station for 15. And that makes it so that we were in the other little tiny space probably for about 5 years. So that seems about right.
So I understand that the horn doesn't work. And that's why we're doing some fundraising to get the thing repaired.
We want to bring the voice back to our little train car. We don't know what that voice even sounds like. We do know that there's a whistle. And David, our beloved board leader, discovered it several years ago. And it's installed on the end of the train. It's never been heard in our history. So we don't know what the voice of our little train is. And we're very excited to see what it might be. But we need to raise the money to give our voice back. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And do we know generally how much money this is going to cost to get the...
We don't know. We haven't asked anybody yet. We've got an estimate where we think that we're looking to raise at least $3,000. And we think that we should cover the costs of someone coming in and getting our voice back. But we're excited. We don't know what we're in for, but we see that horn and we want to hear it. So let's make it happen.
What a great goal.
Yeah. Yeah. The train needs to get its voice back and we need the help to do it. So I think we were going to say that we needed to toot our horn. And I think that's a lovely thing to say too. But I also think it's a lovely thing to think about getting our voice back. So,
yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love the goals you put in place for us, Glenn. Keep being you.
I'll try.
You've been listening to a special episode of Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten, produced for our 2024 fundraising week, Tooting Our Horn. I've been your grandmotherly host, Christine Bruce, along with my 7-year-old crush, Ted Burgess, as the little train, Leslie Jackson as the great Roberta Bruce steam engine, ably assisted as a commentator and some small animals by Carly Quinn. And thanks for the visit from our station manager, Glenn Ingram. Every project is better when you collaborate. Tungsten is aired through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. The best little train car in all of Canada. And with your help, we can get our train car horn working again. Just like Graham Greene's little train at Snorn Station. Want to help? Call in now at 250-847-8769 or visit smithersradio.com to purchase or renew your membership and to keep shows like Tungsten on the air. We think you're the best snuggle buddies, and I hope we can get into mischief together again soon.